You are now tuning in to Let's Be Honest with host Just Jonda. Hello, and welcome to Let's Be Honest. I'm your host, Just Jonda, and this episode's topic, is it really that important to you? We're going to explore some of our general news topics, but of course, when we take our deep dive, along with a few other things, you'll definitely see why I'm asking that question. So a couple of items in our news roundup that caught my eye, and I knew that you would want to talk about them because I certainly do. First, we are going to start with the P. Piper of R&B, none other than R. Kelly. Have you heard about this? R. Kelly got the beat down in jail. Now, it's not the beatdown that some of us thought he would get. I'm going to let that linger. Actually, a guy named Jeremiah Farmer, an alleged Latin King member who's in jail for racketeering, conspiracy, drugs. He was charged with homicide. Not clear on whether or not he was convicted. But again, this is probably somebody you don't want to mess with. He attacked R. Kelly last week. So we're talking the week of September 1st, you know, that first week of September. And the funny thing is that people assumed that he attacked him, well, for a number of reasons. Maybe that he was trying to sexually assault him, or that, you know, there's always, people always say, well, guys in jail don't like guys who are accused of rape or molestation or anything like that. Blah, blah, blah. It had nothing to do with that at all. Interestingly enough, Farmer had his own completely independent set of reasons for why he attacked R. Kelly. Allegedly, Farmer was annoyed with the prison constantly being locked down because of R. Kelly and people protesting maybe for or against him. And then you got to add into it the fact that anybody in jail has had even more of a rough time than normal because of COVID, because that has disrupted the ability for visitors, at least in-person visitation, and just it's just been a more difficult time. I mean, being in jail right now or any type of prison is really akin to being in a hospital in terms of the procedures that are in place to keep the inmates themselves safe, not so much the people who work there. I mean, obviously, there's an interest in keeping them safe. They're usually county or state or federal employees. But of course, those individuals can come and go. So as you can imagine, the jails who have had COVID outbreaks, it was brought in some form or fashion from the outside, whether it was in the initial stages where they didn't know to screen individuals who were coming into the jail, like newly locked up for COVID, or as we've gotten deeper into the COVID situation where they know to test people or to not jail individuals who don't have serious crimes, give lower bonds, etc. We know that more recent cases of outbreaks are based on people who are able to come and go, the jail staff, guards, etc. So, as I said, it's been a little tougher because of that too. But all of that notwithstanding, Farmer says that the government made him do it. So of course, with the Even me, the first time I said the government made them do it, oh my goodness. And this is why reading is fundamental, right? Because you hear that and the first thing I thought was, uh-oh, are we going to hear some conspiracy about some guards that worked something out to beat him up because of this or that, or some other people trying to shut him up? Because, again, when it comes to this stuff and people in jail, and then you've got the whole celebrity aspect of it, we look for things to be more salacious. Let's face it, we kind of want things to be more salacious. But it's actually not. It's more kind of goofy than anything. So when you read, because it's fundamental, it turns out, based on a document that he filed with the Court of Appeals, and not the best written, so I won't torture you with that, he claims that he was actually trying to get to the necessary equipment to file his documents. Because between these lockdowns for various reasons, be it R. Kelly himself or COVID, he's restricted. So he felt that if he whooped up on R. Kelly, that between the hoopla around it, being moved from his cell while matters were pending, going back and forth to court, of course, he would get some kind of counsel, maybe court-appointed counsel, that he would get access to the computer equipment and paper and things necessary to file his document. Because, again, he's in jail for probably a crap load of time given his charges. And like many of my former clients, especially when they are there for like violations of probation, especially if they're repeated violations of probation because they get more time, or just if they're there for very serious sentences and got a lot of time. Well, the operative word is time. That's all they have on their hands. So why not shoot your shot as often and in as many ways as possible to try to get out? Appeal after appeal, somebody's got to read them, and eventually you never know. You might hit on the right thing, whether they're being filed by counsel or filed yourself, because after being in there a while, they all think that reading a couple of books makes you a lawyer. And in this case, it did technically work, because we see that the document has been filed. So Mr. Farmer, for whatever charge he may or may not get for beating up R. Kelly, because it's not like he killed him or, it doesn't even sound like he did anything that took him out of the jail realm or put him in the hospital. He did get to the equipment. So we'll put Mr. Farmer on a shelf. He apparently admits he did it and has said why he did it. In the meantime, R. Kelly has been moved to solitary confinement. So he's in even more of a tight bubble than he initially started out in. And his attorneys, meanwhile, are filing for his release again, because we know ever so often they go to court, file for bond, file for release. And because he keeps getting charged in different jurisdictions, then they do it anyway. And also, given the rates that they are probably charging, yeah, you keep going to court. Those hourly fees don't make themselves. So they allege that aside from the fact that R. Kelly is in constant danger, as evidenced by this incident with Farmer, that they're unable to work with him to effectively assist in his preparation of cases in multiple jurisdictions due to COVID-19 restrictions. Quite frankly, that's probably his best argument. It's not going to work, but that's his best argument, especially because you do have a right to counsel and of course, what comes along with that is the right to meaningfully assist in the preparation of your case. So it's always a good argument, whether it wins or not, that your client needs to be able to be in a position to prepare with you. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be face to face with them, or that they have to be out in order to do that. because who are you, Shaggy and Scooby-Doo? You all need to get into the mystery machine and go from place to place. It does help if you can see one another face to face, quite frankly, as counsel. It helps even in your assessment of your client and getting more insight into what makes your client tick, and not just tick as in kind of what makes their brain work, but also what makes them tick tick. What are their triggers? What might make them blink a little more than possible? What are their tells if they're lying? If they're lying to you, if they're lying to other people, what is the likelihood that anything they are saying to you, let alone if they insist on wanting to go on the stand, don't do it. But of course, you making an assessment of that. So it's certainly good if it is possible for you to actually be looking eyeball to eyeball with your client. But if not, that does not preclude you from being able to meaningfully prepare your their case and for them to be involved in the preparation of their case, because the key is communication. So if you are able to talk to them, if you are able to email them, there is the ability. Now, of course, there are security issues because jail calls are recorded, sometimes all of them, sometimes randomly, and technically they are not supposed to record interactions with counsel or monitor emails to and from counsel. But does it happen? Abso-freaking-lutely. And what happens to those tapes depends on how scrupulous the individuals are that you're dealing with. And because you can't always depend on that, well, communicating with them in any other way than in person is concerning, because every other thing, email or telephone contact, those things create a trail. Email, a paper trail, of course. And of course, and with the telephone, the obvious issue of recording. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Do I think he's going to get bond? Absolutely not. He is charged right now. I know for sure New York, Illinois, maybe Georgia, but New York and Illinois for sure, because New York charged him after Illinois. So they claim they haven't had the opportunity to meet in months, but again, that doesn't mean they haven't talked to him. I don't think he's going anywhere. Next is some news that is just annoying and certainly falls under, is it really that important to you? In this case, well, it might be important to you, but is it really that important to any freaking body else? A gender reveal, once again, with these freaking gender reveals, a gender reveal using an incendiary device causes the latest series of wildfires affecting over 8,500 acres in California. Now, this was this past weekend, and I know there's still some wildfires burning. Being quite candid, I haven't had a chance to double check if it's the one connected to this one, but hell, even if it doesn't, that first 8,500 plus acres was enough. Why are people still doing this? It's kind of like the white party thing. Get over it. Why are people still doing this? People have literally died, been maimed, and caused millions of dollars worth of damage. What is this that individuals have to top other individuals with these gender reveals when who really gives a shit but you? I mean, unless you are bringing to fruition the firstborn in some royal lineage that actually matters, because all of you just kind of live in a castle or whatever, like the Windsors anyway. Outside of that, I mean, maybe the firstborn in a Corleone-style mafia family that's a male child, may your first child be a masculine child. Why does anybody care? I mean, I guess it's cute. You know, if either of my children make me a grandparent, no time soon, then I would probably want to know, but I'm not pressed enough to have anybody get blown up. If you decide to tell me when you find out from your gynecologist, that's good enough for me. We don't have to have a big to-do about it. I know people who have done it, and I'm like, okay, so you're doing all this? What is this? I mean, is this like Theo and Cockroach with the helicopter for the senior prom? Again, doing too damn much? Why do people have to be so extra? And a lot of time is my people. Again, just in case you haven't noticed, I'm Black. And the people who are doing all this, they didn't turn around and have elaborate baby showers. And most of these people are nowhere near the Forbes 400 richest families that just came out this week. Far from it. In fact, a lot closer to the Clampets before they struck oil and moved to Beverly. So, and there's a pandemic going on too. Why? Who cares? And our next story that we're going to get into about, is it really that important to you? We're going to talk about folks tripping about what is coming out of someone else's pocket. Stay tuned. Once again, this is Just Jonda with Let's Be Honest. So in our deep dive today on Is It Really That Important to You, I want to talk about Dr. Dre and his wife of almost maybe 25 years or so, Nicole Young. Now, there has been so much discussion. I've heard lots about it, and it's been reported in TMZ and reported in other places. But as usual, Black radio, Black Twitter, podcasters are all up in it about what Ms. Young is asking for in her monthly amounts. Now, just a little background on this before I get into this, and also more importantly, what annoys me about it. This is Dr. Dre. We know of Beats by Dre, but more importantly, going all the way back, he's certainly he would be considered one of the pioneers in West Coast rap. And so we know Dr. Dre and Snoop. Ben Nate Dogg, and he started Def Row with Suge Knight and all of that. So we know who Dr. Dre is. And of course, as years have progressed and we're a bit old to be running around rapping and diversification, Dr. Dre managed, of course, right on time, wink, wink, to extricate himself from Suge Knight and everything that ended up being the snowball rolling downhill with him being locked up. And he ultimately really made the biggest part of his fortune with Beats by Dre. And we all know those Beats by Dre. And several years ago, he hit near billionaire status because of his partnership or sale or whatever to Apple, netting him about $800 million. And then, of course, he has his catalog and whatever involvement he still has in music. So, as I said, he's been married to Nicole Young for over 20 years. They had two children. And previously, we know he had several high-profile relationships, including those where there were credible allegations, one incident even public, of abuse. So some of the allegations that she's made, like the fact that there's a history of violence or coercive control, particularly as it relates to not just during the marriage, but the signing of the prenup that is in conflict in this case, or part of the conflict in this case. Those things are allegations like that as it relates to him are certainly not surprising and not unbelievable by any stretch. So people have, of course, had a field day with the fact that among her ask in this situation, she is requesting, per recent court filing, $2 million a month in support, because he is paying monthly support until they get to the point where they, you know, final hearings, etc. And as I said, there is a prenuptial agreement that is part of the conflict in this case. Allegedly, there was one which she alleges that she signed under duress. And I suppose, as with any case where that is at issue, she's going to have to show the court some proof about the conditions around her signing it. We saw in a recent case involving music celebrities where the challenge to the prenup was actually successful. In the case of Mary J. Blige and her recent ex-husband Kendu, because he alleged that there were vastly uneven conditions in place when he signed the prenup, particularly the fact that I believe there were lawyers, but I think there were lawyers, but the lawyers were hired by her. So arguably everybody was her team. It was something like that. But the bottom line is that the conditions were considered to be uneven, despite the fact that throughout their marriage, he acted as her manager. So certainly if I were representing Mary J, I would be arguing that he is a businessman himself and that he is not without some level of acumen in contract negotiations, etc. But even with that, the fact that there may have been one or more attorneys involved, with him not being an attorney himself, despite the fact that I would be making an argument about some level of business acumen and maybe even presenting some proof to the court about contract negotiations that he may have been involved in, particularly if I could prove that they were contract negotiations that he was involved in on the behalf of some other client where he did all or most of that negotiating alone, it would certainly, you know, that certainly would be good evidence as well, because a prenuptial agreement is just that. I mean, it is an agreement. And what is an agreement? Another word of saying contract. It is a marital contract in anticipation of marriage. These are the conditions by which we will govern ourselves in the event we dissolve this marriage. So it is very much a contract like any other. So essentially, what you are, for those who may not know, what you are arguing when you are trying to disrupt the court's following of a prenuptial agreement that on its face is otherwise valid, like it was properly signed and notarized and whatever the conditions are in that particular state, then you have to go to, if you don't have an argument that the document on its face is illegal, then you have to go back to what was going on when the document was signed. Was there some type of fraud in the inducement of signing that document, or was there some type of coercion? And we're talking, like, of course, unfair coercion. Was there an obvious imbalance of power that would have led to a person feeling like they had no choice in the matter, and that their negotiating would have been futile in the face of what the power that you were bringing to the table? And you put that in line with the emotional element, which is, if I don't sign this, even in the face of this power imbalance, this person is not going to marry me. Well, that creates, a powder keg, for want of a better way of putting it, of coercion and ultimately duress. And so, it's no different than if you were saying a police officer, someone was bending someone's arm behind their back and pulling their wrist back, and they're about to break their fingers and toes if they don't use their free hand to sign a confession. Well, that's going to get tossed out, right? Well, it's the same thing with a prenup. So in this case, so there's that piece, but more importantly, it is this monthly expenses, because of course, people love to argue about what someone has to pay someone else. And they always, it never ceases to amaze me, because these arguments happen with child support too, that people argue about other people's money, but from a perspective that is your own. I cannot say what Nicole Young should or should not get as it relates to maintaining a lifestyle that I cannot conceive of, because her maintaining an $800 million lifestyle is very different from me maintaining, shall we say, my far less than $800 million sitting in my house podcasting to you lifestyle. So, and yes, she may have a degree, and it's my understanding that she did earn a law degree during the course of the marriage, but it's also my understanding that it's not like she worked for some fancy law firm or built a practice of her own. So this is someone who has been potentially 20 some odd years out of the workforce, and again, living a certain lifestyle. So what did she ask for that has some people's panties in a bunch? She wants $1,936,399 to cover her expenses. Here are some of the items on the breakdown, because when you ask for these things in what in Virginia we call a pendente lite hearing, we also have to file an itemized list of expenses to try to justify whatever it is we're asking for. So here's hers. Laundry and cleaning, $10,000 a month. I'm going to come back to that, because based on some of the other things, I don't think that's completely out of line. $135,000 a month for clothes. Education, tuition and living expenses, $60,000 a month. I am going to assume that is for the kids. I can't speak to that, but let's just make that assumption. Entertainment. This is probably the one that gets people the most, but I'm going to talk about it. $900,000 a month. Charitable contributions, $125,000 a month. I'm a charitable contribution. I mean, do I have to like start a church or something? I don't know. I think I might need to get on that charity train. Mortgage, $100,000 a month. And that's the one I really want to talk about. And telephone, cell phone, email, $20,000 a month. Now, according to TMZ, Dre is currently covering her expenses, which includes the cost of chefs, security, maintenance for their home in Malibu, which where she currently resides. And she claims that he has prevented her from using credit cards and used threatening language when he demanded she not spend any money. According to court filings, Young accused Dr. Dre of being intoxicated one night, telling her, "Do not spend one more cent, period. You can't be mean and disrespectful and spend my hard-earned money. Fuck that." Yeah, that's a threat. I'm putting the beach house up for sale next week. And she also talked about an incident where his brother came to their home to retrieve a firearm for Dre. Like, we're supposed to believe that Dre doesn't have firearms. Okay. She said she was scared and refused to hand the gun over because her husband has a history of violence and coercive control, both before and during the marriage. And she didn't elaborate at that point, which you usually don't when you make these filings, especially because they're public and it just starts a whole thing. You say what you need to say, and then you put the fancy sentence at the end saying, "and for other reasons that shall be presented in a hearing before this honorable court." And so when you go there, you elaborate on whatever it is that you discuss. Because beforehand, especially with public figures like this, when you know that the minute you file something, it's going to get picked up by newspapers or outlets around the world, you just say what is necessary to get the filing done. Because when you go to court, if you are going to court based on a filing or a petition, those are the things that you have to present. You can't go and just start talking about a whole bunch of other stuff completely unrelated to what you filed. So you at least need to touch on it, which is good enough to then elaborate later on. So makes sense that she did that. I wouldn't have written it any differently. Now, my take on this. First and foremost, you cannot argue, and I said this already, but I'll reinforce it. You cannot argue about what someone should and shouldn't get using the standards by which you live, because you don't live that lifestyle. And I'm talking high or low, okay? Because obviously, if a family, a husband, wife, kids, whatever, is living a two income, you know, and I'm not going to be goofy and just make it extraordinarily low, like a two income, maybe $125,000-$150,000 lifestyle. Like, both of them have worked for a number of years, maybe have degrees in middle management. So both of them making between $70,000-$80,000, and, you know, maintaining a decent lifestyle. And when they divorce, the ask, if any, especially if they are making similar amounts, it's going to be very different from what is going to happen in a case as it relates to Dr. Dre and Nicole Young. In fact, in a situation like that, it would really come down mostly to who has the children, if they're minors, and how often, because the big issue would mostly be child support. Because if both of these individuals have decent jobs and are making roughly the same amount of money, or even if there is an income differential, it is not, you know, it insanely different. And the person who makes less money certainly has the education and earning potential to make more. It's just that perhaps by the nature of their career, it takes longer, or if it is the wife, perhaps it could be related to time that she took to have children or raise children. And we know that affects women's careers if they have children, and certainly if they have children in the earlier part of their career when they're not as established, don't really have seniority. So they are sort of at the mercy of someone who will take advantage of not advancing them and can sort of justify it because they don't have much experience. That's going to impact the career versus someone who has, you know, hit and perhaps even bumped through the glass ceiling and had children much later and are they're more in control of their domain should they decide to then take time to have children. Now they can't stop and go and raise those children full time, but at least they may not be as penalized for it for, you know, taking a little bit for maternity leave. But back to these two, because again, my point is those people are in a very different situation. That's regular folk shit. Dr. Dre and Nicole Young do $800 million folk shit. Now, let me tell you a few things about this and maybe put it into perspective. $100,000 a month mortgage, which of course is going to play into some of the other things. Now, think about that. There are individuals who live in, and I live in a rather expensive area of the country, living in the DC metro area. So let's say you live in the DC metro area, or even in California, like San Francisco or New York, North Jersey, Connecticut, where even on the expensive end, you could have a house that is maybe 5,000 square feet, which is a big ass house, maybe on a quarter acre of land, half an acre of land. And on the high end, because I'm going to put you in San Francisco or, you know, maybe right outside of the city, Long Island, you could possibly pay $9,000, $10,000, $11,000 a month, depending on how much you put down. Now, we are talking about a mortgage that is $100,000 a month. And of course, we're in Malibu. So that's, of course, we know that's going to be more expensive. But that would still be a hell of a house in terms of size and amenities and what it takes to run it for that to be the monthly mortgage. Because what we're talking about is $1.2 million a year in mortgage costs. There are houses, again, that are 5,000-6,000 square feet in beautiful areas with amenities and a decent area of land or whatever that won't cost $3 million to just own outright. Or let's say it is in an extremely expensive area and is 6,000 or 7,000 square feet. Okay, and you spent 10. But $10 million would only be with the rate of their mortgage, it would still only be about 9 years. So we're talking about a house that is extremely expensive. So that tells you how much it costs to run. It is also 2020. What's the odds that a house that is costing that much monthly isn't perhaps a smart house where every single thing is connected and you can do all kinds of stuff? So when people laugh about this telephone or cell phone or email that's $20,000 a month, factor in that those things are not what you and I normally think of telephone, cell phone, email. They are probably things tied to running a smart house. Now, again, I'm just guessing, but I just want to put you in the frame of mind of thinking bigger. Next, laundry and cleaning, $10,000 a month. Again, we're talking about the house, the household, all of that. Probably cleaning, sending out everything. Clothes, $135,000 a month. Well, is it a lot? Yes. Am I going to charity events? Am I wearing dresses that are $10,000, $20,000, $25,000 a pop? No. And if she's photographed in these dresses, that's one and done. That's the only time the dresses are going to be worn. Not to mention the $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 shoes and purses. Because again, that's going to get wrapped up in clothes. So purses, accessories, and all of those things, which by themselves to accompany one outfit could run $25,000, $30,000. She has an outfit, she gets an Hermes bag. That one bag could be $30,000. Heck, even if she gets a bag that, you know, some of my friends may carry, you get a decent Dior bag. That's still going to cost you at least three. Chanel, lower end three, higher end seven or eight. And that's not even a big bag. So again, putting it into perspective, entertainment, $900,000 a month. Are you staying in a resort or renting a house or a chalet or a yacht that runs about $50,000 a night? They are. Think about, and now I want you to think about wealthy, mega wealthy, not rich, not hood rich, not rapper rich, not TV rich, not reality show wife rich, not regular athlete rich, because there are a few athletes that go up into this realm, like the Williams sisters, and a few others, Tiger Woods, but Michael Jordan, but not the average ones, even the ones who get the, you know, $100 million contracts. Okay, still rich, but that's over the course of several years. No, I'm talking about the mega wealthy. And right now we're just talking about celebrities, because we know that the mega wealthy families like the Waltons and stuff, that they live like this. But I'm talking about the mega wealthy since we're talking about celebrities. You ever notice that there's some celebrities who you see them out and about? Well, some of them choose to live out and about, but the ones who choose to remove themselves because they know that the paparazzi is going to hound them in a different type of way. Beyonce and Jay-Z. You notice Beyonce and Jay-Z aren't getting stopped on the way to school like, say, Halle Berry. You notice Madonna. There's pictures of her sometimes coming and going when she chooses to allow it. Same thing, by the way, with Beyonce, when she chooses to allow it, which is why the pictures, even when they are supposedly caught, are still very posed. Still very perfect looking. So there is an awareness that we're allowing you into this moment. There's a few others, especially some of your European celebrities, but there's a few others that fall into this category, like Dre and Nicole Young. Stay tuned. I'm going to finish this next. Jonda, and once again we are talking about this topic. Is it really that important to you? So I was talking about your mega wealthy celebrities, the ones who don't choose to live in Soho, so you kind of see them coming and going. And some of those are mega wealthy. They just choose to live in areas where you kind of see them coming and going, but not all the time. And certainly you can't, just any old body can't roll up in the schools that their children go to, because that's when you see their money come into play. Where are those kids? Like, you may see someone like Gwyneth Paltrow coming and going, and it appears that she lives this normal life. But where's Apple? She is somewhere attending school where just any old body can't go. Okay? So my point in talking about these individuals that are places where you don't see them is the fact that they're all, for all of the people who complain, the paparazzi, they won't leave me alone and whatever, whatever. The ones who have this kind of money, you don't hear those complaints from them, because when you have that kind of money, you can go and be and live and vacation and party and all of that stuff where everybody is not all in your business. Even to a certain degree, Diddy. The difference with Diddy is that he enjoys having his lifestyle written about, talked about, seen. But not every day. On some of the everyday, as he's gotten older, other than when he wants you to see him, or if he's with other people who put their lifestyle out there a little bit more than his, he can be other places. When he vacations and stuff, what you get are the pictures that he sends you. Why? Because there are places that people like this can go and things that they can do that regular folk, even people who think they are on their level in terms of like stardom, but just don't necessarily have their money, where they can be and nobody sees them. Rihanna, same thing, because as we know, she's got a crap ton of money now too. But that costs, and that is what it boils down to. To live the kind of lifestyle where everybody is not engaged in your lifestyle, because they would be given your celebrity status, it costs. That's why there is only a certain level of wealthy people, celebrities, not, as I said, not rich celebrities, wealthy celebrities, that can live it. Dr. Dre lives it. People may talk about him. Do you see him? No. You see him if he goes out to something. You don't see Nicole Young unless she wants you to see her. Now, granted, nobody's looking for her either, because she's not the celebrity in the family, but she's wherever he was. You can't live the way that they live without spending a certain amount of money. It's that whole, you gotta pay the cost if you want to be the boss. That even goes for people who live a mega rich lifestyle that they choose not to have everybody all up in all the time. And it's not a matter of just the paparazzi and whatever. It's also just enjoying your life and not having to share it, because you don't have to. And according to this, there's some charitable donations. I want to be one of them. $125,000 a month. Just give me $20. I mean, you know, I'll give you my Cash App, girl. So again, talking about and arguing about and debating about people whose lifestyle you can't even conceive of. Now, we already know how this works, no matter how you may feel about it, in terms of individuals, especially if they've been married for a long period of time and continuing to live a life that they have become accustomed to. And of course, should that prenup if the judge does not see it her way, then it doesn't matter. I think it's like maybe a, it's a, I think it's like $1 million per year. I don't think it's a flat million. That would be kind of crazy. But there is, I think it's like $1 million a year. I hope that he, my thought is that if he, which I believe some of that $800 million obviously is in stock, that she goes the route of Jeff Bezos' recent ex, Bezos, as we know, is Mr. Amazon, that she goes that route and that his wife ultimately did when they came to the conclusion of a nasty divorce that was just getting nastier by the day, and she got a lump sum and stock. And what a good payday for her. I mean, initially people were like, yeah, but in relation to what she could have and should have gotten, $38 billion, again, we're talking billion, didn't seem like enough. Well, $38 billion is more than enough, but I guess relative to the fact that there was like $200 billion at stake, then it seems like, why didn't she only get that? However, she got 25% of the Amazon stock, as in the Amazon stock that belonged to him. She got 25% of that. So what she didn't get in a straight payout was more than made up for in the stock. And as we know, if you watch that type of thing, Amazon stock is one of the few that has gone absolutely through the roof during COVID, because what is everybody doing, especially in those early days, sitting around ordering on Amazon? And I suspect that even if that's leveled off, it's going to be right back there again as we approach the holidays and potentially a second wave in the United States. So that 25% and just settling, you know, for want of a better way of putting it, for $38 billion was a good move. So absent the fact that this ask sounds a little weird to most regular people, like me, like all of us, the $2 million a month, that's only what she's asking for maintenance right now while the divorce is pending. That doesn't mean, and I'm sure they know, that's not anything she's going to get in perpetuity. I suspect that in the meantime, there is some attempt, if everybody here is smart, attempt to hammer out some kind of payoff with some kind of options. In fact, I would be surprised if the stock piece isn't what they're actually fighting about. Because if Dre has access outside of, you know, things that are tied up in stock and properties, if he has access to even $100 million liquid, break her off 50 and she might go away if there's some stock included. That is, but that stock is where the money is, especially with the tie to Apple, because that's the best thing he could have done with the company. So with that tie, that is potentially where the drama is. But still, it would be, even if it was like 20%, that wouldn't be bad. Break her off with 50 mil and 20%, she might take it, because the kids aren't babies. So, and hopefully he's a decent enough person to, you know, have something set aside for them and his other children. I'm trying to remember, does he have a child with Michelle? I believe she has one or two by him as well as Suge because she was with both of them. Dr. Dre is the one that she specifically in the movie showed beating her, or the movie displayed that, and she talked about. I can't remember the Suge situation. I know that neither of the situations ended well, but Dr. Dre was the one where there was the most discussion as it relates to abuse. And she is not the only one, as we know. That was just the most recently talked about because of the fact that it was a, excuse me, it was a major plot point in the movie that she did on Lifetime about maybe a year or so ago. What's the deal with that frog in my throat? Sorry, guys. So at any rate, that is where I am on this. There's no point in debating about what the court will or won't do. If the prenup's held up, we already know which way that'll go. The court will follow the prenup. If the prenup is not held up, then he's going to have to come off some ducats. I think at this point, the holdup is probably seeing where the court falls on the prenup. Because even with the Mary J. Blige situation, once the court made a ruling in his favor on the prenup, within, you know, lickety split, they were settled. So unless he is being a jerk about this, there is, if he's smart, so that he could just him stop paying astronomical lawyer fees because he's got to pay his and hers. If he's smart, then there is already some discussion going on between he and his attorneys about what he would be willing to part with in the event he has no choice by virtue of the prenup not standing up. Other than that, I'm not going to say what somebody shouldn't get. They were together for over 25 years or something thereabout. It was over 20 years. So she doesn't walk away with nothing. And anybody who thinks that, screw you, it's stupid. Now, I don't want to hear the part, she wasn't making no beats and whatever, whatever. This is a part of the deal when you are with someone and you know that. So if it's not your thing, then don't get married. In fact, if you're that selfish, if that's the tip you're on, you're probably doing whoever the person is who has the misfortune of being with you a favor. Next, speaking of prenups, and this is just a quick one, and I say speaking of prenups because, again, sometimes these things come up as plot points. And in the case of Miss Ashley Darby from The Real Housewives of Potomac, that was a plot point for her on the show. Her first season on there, and probably 2 years later, I guess, on her third season. First, it was, does she have one? What does she get? Because she's married to this much older man. I think he's like 74 now, and she's in her early 30s, because when the show started, I think she was like 28, 29. And then later on, they were having some problems and they talked about the prenup again. It looks like she went through some renegotiation of her prenup and they showed it on the show. But then she had a baby. So as I know, you can agree about a lot of things, but the thing that will get you around everything, because the prenup is about you, is child support, because that's a whole other thing than the prenup. Even if you were to put potential child support in a prenup, it doesn't matter, because the court has an interest in child support and making sure that it, certainly if it is sought through the court, that the child is supported according to what the court feels should be considered when supporting the child, which is specifically in layman's terms, if you all were together, the child would be availed of the entirety of the income that you two bring in And that shouldn't change just because you are not together. So if you get with somebody who makes substantially less than you do, oh well. And technically, if you and that person were to marry or to live together, you would still be paying substantially more of the bills, which means you would be paying substantially more of whatever comes along with raising that child, whether it's needs or wants, whether it is need Pampers or wants dance classes, whatever it is. So anyway, Ashley Darby, who just had a baby about a year ago, because right now the way the show is the child is like 3 months, but the show was taped a little over a year ago, so the child is probably about one now, has just announced that she is pregnant again and due in February. So she will have two children under two with her, I believe, 74-year-old husband, Michael Darby. So congratulations, Ashley and Michael. This announcement comes right around the time that she did an interview talking about the fact that on this season, we will see and learn a little bit more about her and Michael's relationship being, quote, different, unquote. I don't think that that's something we all didn't know already, but considering that there's more trash that has come out, allegations as it relates to him and strippers and some video that surfaced last spring that shows someone that looks and sounds a whole lot like him in a hotel room with a woman, and now some additional allegations from a man, that their situation probably is different. But you know what? If they like it and it's not illegal, knock yourself out. There's no little kids involved, it's not illegal, and they're down with it. Okay. I mean, you know, do you. Apparently she likes her dude that looks like he's from Lord of the Rings. I mean, I guess, but God bless him. So that is all I've got in this episode about, is it really that important to you? Were any of these stories important? Not really. Tyler Perry is a billionaire. That's pretty cool. That's important to him. Congratulations, Tyler. According to Forbes, he's a billionaire. On the flip side, his BET series, Bruh, he just completed 19 episodes in 4 days. I don't know if when we see that's going to be important to anybody. It didn't look that good when they filmed it in more than 4 days. When it premiered this past spring, it looked like it took 4 days then. So I don't know if this is really news, except we're in the middle of a quarantine. But again, there's an audience for everything. And like I said, as long as it's not illegal, if they like it, I love it. So, hey, enjoy yourself and God bless him too. So remember, if you're thinking about it and want to talk about it, I'm probably thinking about it and I want to talk about it with you. So let's be honest together. In the meantime, make sure that if you are on iTunes, you leave me 5 stars and some comments, and you will see in the description box, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter. You can join the Facebook group. We have a great time over there. And certainly feel free to DM me and leave me any suggestions about show topics, or just tell me what you're thinking, need some advice, I don't know. Let me know. We can talk about it. You all have a wonderful week, and I will be back very soon because we have got to talk about your president. Have a great one.